Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Well, listen, I'm feeling inclined this morning to give a brief encouragement and then shift a gear. And by shifting a gear, I mean it's one thing for us to talk about the Lord. It's one thing for us to remind ourselves, to encourage ourselves, to think about, maybe even allow ourselves to be challenged so that when we leave here today, we can apply what we've been thinking about, learning, engage in that throughout the week and the months ahead. And then there's this shift that I'd like to encourage us to enter into here this morning, where we're not just simply going to be talking about, but we're actually going to be experiencing some of the things that we talk about. And so this is where it becomes more of a community and a family and less about a program and less about you sitting there receiving only, but also being able and having the opportunity to engage. Now, of course, I'm not going to ask you to do anything you're not comfortable with or wanting to do. This is all going to be just an invitation. And so if that means that during that time, you decide that you'd rather sit in silence or listen to the music that's going to be played and just meditate on the goodness of the Lord, absolutely do that. But there are going to be a couple of dynamics here this morning that I want to weave together, okay? Because over the last month, I've been bringing this topic and I've been in a series about the power of God. And the power of God not only to manifest like miracles on the earth, but also the power of God to transform a heart, the power of God to restore your soul, the power of God to do a work both internally and externally, the power of God to move in ways that are beyond our capacity. So we would call that supernatural. So the supernatural power of God, I've been talking about that quite a bit. And last week I began by sharing that we all understand, at least to a degree, power. We've all been under the influence of power. And it's not always been good. It's not always been positive. Some of our definitions of power have been skewed because of the experiences that we have had with power. Some of that power has been misused. Some of that power has been used to even abuse. And so whether it is a power, in family structure or a political structure or a religious structure, whatever that power structure has been in your life, we've all been under the influence of some form of power. And oftentimes that power is an attempt, is being applied to us in an attempt to get us to do something or to think something or to behave a certain way. And so a lot of us, we've been under the influence of a type of power that's that has hooks in it. And by that I mean it might have the language of love. It might have the language of benevolence. But there's some hope for payoff. There's some hook in it that's trying to get us to respond a certain way. And that's the power that is rampant throughout the world. And that power can be seen, and by this I mean Jesus speaks to at least five distinct power structures. And one of those is political, and one of those is actually the power of finance or money. The other one is a social power, like a cultural hierarchy of sorts. One of them is like a religious structure of power, and the other one is a biological family structure. And he speaks to all of those, and he begins to contrast the influence of that type of power, the misuse of that type of power, the good use of that type of power, and his power. His authority, His capacity to rule and reign. We sang of that this morning. And so each one of those ruling authorities on the earth, you could call those an arche. And that word is from the original language, which where we would get the word architect. So an architect, of course, they get backed up now by engineers and signed off on by all these different people. But at the heart of it, an architect is the chief ruling authority over a structure. And and so it's also where we get the word hierarchy, which is like the power structures. Jesus comes on the scene in the form of a baby, very humble, and it is established that his rule and his authority will have dominion over all of these five arches. This is why Jesus is referred to as the chief architect. And so I want to read from Colossians 2, verses 8 through 15, with this as a backdrop. With the power and the authority of Jesus coming into our world to redefine what it means to be under the influence of a power source. A lot of us, the reason why we rebel against, you know, religion is because it's been used against us. Jesus never came to actually establish a new religion. What he came to do was he came to establish his power and his authority in our lives on the earth. And so I want to read Colossians 2, 8 through 15. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world. You could substitute the elemental spiritual forces of this world as a lesser ruling arche. So of those five, he is saying, don't let anyone take you captive through deceptive philosophies that depend on human tradition and the lesser ruling authorities or elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Jesus Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought into fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it all away, nailing it to the cross. And he disarmed the powers and authorities of those lesser arches. He disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Can we say yes to that? That's the good news, that we are no longer under the influence of a lesser ruling authority, that we have been brought into the overarching authority of Jesus Christ. And he's disarmed that power that we were under the influence of, even the power of our own sinful nature. He has circumcised us from that. He has created for us the capacity to be righteous and holy, not because of the good works that we've done, but because of his mercy. Now, I just have a thought here. It's actually backed up in Scripture. I want to just share it with you. I'm not going to take us there. I just want to paraphrase it in a sense. Had the powers of darkness, had the powers, these elemental spiritual forces that were ruling in these five lesser arches, had they known the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, Satan and his associates would have never crucified Jesus. I think that God kept that a mystery, and it was obviously divine wisdom for him to do that. And so it was through the cross that Jesus was able to disarm the powers and authorities and make a public spectacle of them. And so this mystery of Christ in you, that's the power of God that begins to now spread. It's not just one person here and one person there, this prophet, this king, this priest, who has been empowered by the living God through his Holy Spirit. Now, every single one of us who have ever said yes to God, every single one of us, whether we are Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, if we've ever surrendered our life to God and have received the gift of Jesus, then the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has taken up residence inside of us. And this was the mystery. Had Satan known what was about to happen, he never would have let Jesus go to the cross. Because now instead of Christ the man, there is the church, the anointed of Christ by the millions, billions on the planet. I want you to connect with that. And I want you to make it personal. And this brings me back to the Christmas story. The power and the authority of Jesus was ushered into this world through a humble yes of a frightened girl. As I read Luke 1, you know, it just reminds me that God chooses the humble. And God displays his power through the weak. And so this isn't a big pump-up session for us to, you know, puff up our chest and start to act bigger than we really are. This, again, for all of us who really touch this and really know this to be true, it's a humbling thing for God to say, I choose you. You are the one who gets to carry my presence everywhere you go. You are people of the presence. And so Mary's response to the coming kingdom, let it be to me according to your word. I mean, my encouragement this morning is that you and I would have the same yes in our hearts for the power of God, right? Let it be unto me according to your word. And so this is my encouragement this morning that brings us into just a reminder, a refreshment of like, wow, this is the reason for the season. Like the reason why Jesus came to the earth was to establish his rule and reign on the planet. To establish his rule and reign in your life, in your family. And so his way becomes the overarching way. I want that to be an encouragement for us this morning. Yeah? Because I think one of the things that I'd like to do as we kind of shift into this experiential mode of like, let's connect with this. I think one of the ways that we can be a conduit of God's grace and his goodness and his power is through prayer and through intercession. And so what I'd like to do here in a moment is I'm going to ask Mark to play while we gather up in small groups. And this isn't going to take us the rest of the morning. I have other things I have in mind. But we're going to take a few moments to allow you to receive prayer and allow you to pray for others. Some of us have a harder time receiving than we have giving. And I want everyone who would like prayer to receive prayer this morning. I've been challenged, actually been cautioned by some of my peers, my contemporaries, my friends who say, wow, you don't have a prayer ministry team? Like, you don't have people who are like, especially like, assigned to that role, and then they get equipped specifically to pray for people. Like you open it up for the whole church to pray for each other. Like that's like a real threat. Like that, like bad things could happen if I let that happen. I'm like, what? No, we're called to be a house of prayer. Like this was Jesus's big upset, you know? He's like, my house will be a house of prayer when he was turning tables over. So I, you know, I don't turn any. It's not like I'm at the restaurant and I go, "Wow, my house will be hot." That'd be funny. I should try that one day. But I do want to give us some reminders, and that's what I tell my friends. I say, "Look, it's woven into the fabric of who we are as a fellowship," and I like to encourage each one of us to, you know, be that person for another. And so when we connect with people, if we're going to pray for them, and I just want to offer these as reminders. I know that you know these things. I'm going to encourage you to connect with empathy. Empathy is really important. I think what empathy does is it creates an automatic safe place. And for people to reveal to you what's going on in their life, they need to have a safe place. You can be that safe place. And so we connect with empathy. We say things like, "I'm so sorry you're experiencing this." Like there's a heart connect with their experience. This is where, like for me, it's a bit of an indication that I might not be connecting with empathy when I try to relate to someone with one of my stories. Like, "Oh yeah, I've been through that. Like I can tell you this or that or the other story." And I'm trying to relate to them, but I have this rule, like this kind of rule of thumb. Like I don't want to superimpose my story into their current condition, right? By quote, relating. Instead, what I want to do is I want to validate what they're going through. This is where "I'm so sorry you're going through this." This is a validation that you're hearing them, you're connecting with them. And so I have this phrase that I've kind of taken on here. If you relate instead of validate, you will actually alienate. You no longer become a safe place. And there's a distance. So anyway, that's one thought. The other thought is, as a prayer reminder, ask permission before touching them. I've actually waited, and I've felt inclined to wait to touch people. And it's been interesting because after several minutes of praying, I'll ask them, "What are you experiencing?" And this happened recently where my friend was like, "I feel God hugging me." Like they're actually beginning to experience a touch from Him. And I think that's good. I also think that it's good for us to have positive touch in our life. So it's absolutely okay to touch. It's just ask permission. Okay? So that's the other encouragement. And then I want to encourage us to connect people to Jesus. He's the one with the answers. He's the one who can solve the problems. We can't. So if we shift into guys, especially us, I don't know what it is about us, we shift into that fix-it mode so quick and easy. Let's not do that. We might have like great passages of scripture that we could like share with them, but if that's being shared as some kind of like quick remedy to their problem, that's probably not what they really need at that moment. Again, empathy, connecting them, asking Jesus, because one thing that I've learned over the years here, doing more and more of this, is I might have a quick thought, but if I push pause on that, give it just a few minutes, and then ask them, "What are you experiencing, or what are you like? What is Jesus saying to you?" Oftentimes, He'll be saying to them the thing that I had in my mind to say, but I held off, and now they've connected with Jesus. They're hearing it from Him. All right, so there's that. And finally, just bless them and ask the Holy Spirit to seal what He's doing in the name of Jesus. And then as a final thought here, after I pray with someone, I take a moment, I take a deep breath, and I release them into the love and the care of Jesus. And I invite the Holy Spirit to bring them to mind whenever He wants me to intercede for them in the future. But I don't carry their story. I don't carry their emotions. I don't carry them with me except to Jesus. Okay? So that being said, I just want to invite us. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to get in small groups of maybe 3 or 4 people. Let's just take a moment to pray for one another. Okay? So, Jesus, thank you so much for reminding us of your power and your authority, reminding us that we are your people and that you have taken up residence in us. And now I pray that you would activate the gifts that you've placed in us by your Holy Spirit to minister your love and your grace to each other. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's just do that for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to read this. Continue to pray if you're finishing up prayers. It's a blessing from John O'Donohue, written in a book entitled To Bless the Space Between Us. And it's a bit of a poem, but I think it's going to help us transition into the next part of our morning, the last 10 minutes or so of our morning together. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless increasing weight. The light of the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of the will. Weariness invades your soul. Gravity begins to fall inside of you, dragging down your bones. The tide you may never have valued has gone out. And you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There's nothing else to do now but rest. And patiently learn to receive yourself. Perhaps you've forsaken that part of you in the race of days. You have traveled too fast over false ground, and now your soul has come back to take you back. So take refuge in your senses. Open up to the small miracles you rushed through. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can calm you, and be excessively gentle with yourself. Gradually, you will return to your true self and to the one who holds you, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells within slow time. Just want to encourage you now just to close your eyes if they're not already closed. Take a few deep breaths. I want to bless your sanctified imaginations. I bless the eyes of your heart to see. I bless your spiritual ears to hear. And in that interior place that you have with Jesus, your abiding place, I invite Jesus to become your safe place. And I invite Jesus to take you to a safe place. Maybe it's a place you've been to before. Maybe it's a place of your childhood. Maybe it's a new place. Just bless you to see it. Vivid. Full of color and smells and sights and sounds. I bless you to enter into that space with a new calm. A new peace, a new safety. And as you will, invite Jesus to come into that space with you. Perhaps it's a sense of His presence. Perhaps you see Him. Maybe He's close. Maybe He's far. Just fix your eyes on Him. Allow Him to draw near to you. And ask Him, Jesus, is there anything you'd like to say to me? Anything you'd like to show me? This is your safe and abiding place with Jesus. It goes with you wherever you go, and whatever you're experiencing, you have access to this deep well. Jesus, would you reveal your eyes to each person here? What is Jesus conveying to you? Again, a reading from John O'Donohue. The eyes of Jesus gaze upon you. A gaze that is perfect sister to the kindness that dwells in His beautiful hands, stirring the heart's clay. The confidence of seasons that never lose their way to harvest. This gaze knows the signature of our heartbeat, the first glimmer from the dawn that dreamed our minds, the crevices where thoughts grow, long before the longing in the bone sends them towards mind's eye. The artistry of emptiness that knows how to slow the hunger of outside things until they weave into the twilight side of the heart. Forever falling softly on your face, His gaze applies the soul with light, laying down a luminous layer to unravel the last black knot. And now we are back home in the house we have never left. Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for bringing us back. And I pray that any time that we purpose in our hearts to meet with you like this, it would be unstrained and flow freely. I just pray, God, that you would bring us all back into a safe place time and time and time again. What a gift. And in this we find a power that is not trying to rule over us or manipulate. There are no hooks in your love, Jesus. You simply want to give. And so we receive you again today, fresh. With thankful hearts, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for fixing our eyes back to your gaze. And I pray that every prayer that was prayed this morning would be sealed in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. That we would all witness miracles right before our very eyes as we experience the power of God's love in this season. And I bless you this week, and I hope to see you on Tuesday night, but if not, I bless your times with your families. I bless you with joy, lots of laughter. I bless you with peaceful conversations. I bless you with the ability to see each other fresh and new. And so, Lord, thank you for this morning and all the ways that you're caring for us. Thank you that you've created for us in this place and in this time a respite, a true sanctuary. And thank you that we carry you with us wherever we go. And I pray this in your strong name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.